You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
It was Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France. It was ablaze. They were going to remodel it. They were prepared to remodel it, to bring it to its newest place. But it's the most visited place in Paris, France. And now it's on fire, and the whole world is watching it burn. All the news media is covering it. People are in tears. They remember going there, seeing it, what it stood for. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, this is just such a tragedy. You know, when you saw that, you know, something that's been around for so long, representing so many awesome things, right?
Hundreds and hundreds of years. Reportedly is the most visited place in all of Europe, but definitely all of France.
Right.
But who would have thunk that something that's been around so long would be set on fire? And it seemed like it just wouldn't go out. People just were mesmerized.
Well, they were saying reportedly it's an accidental fire. The construction workers are working on it, last I heard. You know, that. But either way, I mean, here this thing's burning. It's blazing, you know, and then it just... I mean, it was amazing to see the world, how the world felt about this place, this building, this place they visited, other people visited, and it was almost like, you know, even though nobody was there,
right?
People's hearts were broken over it, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that a building could have that much of a pull. But people were even singing Ave Maria outside in front of the building as it burned.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, don't we have some footage right here?
We do. Mm-hmm. In fact, take a look.
The flames, burning out of control, could be seen across Paris, where the iconic church has stood for more than 800 years. There were moments when it seemed the entire structure would burn to the ground, the spire that marked the Paris skyline toppling from the flames.
And that was the moment that she started crying when we watched that spire fall down. It's just, you know, it's such an iconic part of the Paris skyline.
One witness posted this cell phone video of a group of strangers gathered nearby the burning cathedral singing Ave Maria.
It's amazing, you know, it's just a tragedy, something that you'd like to see, something that you felt like that it was a moment in your life, it was a memory, one of the wonders of the world, I guess you would say, and you're watching it burn as it was, and people are singing about the mother of Jesus, you know, Ave Maria, they're talking about, you know, the mother of Jesus, and it is, I mean, but the whole world was covering it, and they were watching this, they were covering it live at Sky News, as a matter of fact, right?
Sky News 24 news cycle, but Sky News is just sharing with us the history, because you may not know what the Notre Dame Cathedral is all about, but they give us a brief history to show us and kind of bring us up to speed on why this meant so much to so many. Take a look.
For more than 850 years, Notre Dame has dominated the heart of Paris. In a matter of hours, it became an inferno-ravaged shell, but crucially, still standing. Even with its timber roof and spire gone, eaten up by the flames, the huge Gothic cathedral that took a century to build remains an architectural, religious, national and international landmark. Westminster Abbey was built in its Gothic style on the orders of King Henry III, following a visit to Paris in the 1200s. The legacy of Notre Dame stretches far beyond France.
This is an absolute disaster. This building was one of the great early works of Gothic architecture. It came in a city that was developing Gothic architecture at the end of the 12th century. It refined the style. Notre Dame was one of the great exponents of it. And it went on to influence all subsequent cathedrals here. So Notre Dame is a stepping stone for our own Westminster Abbey.
I know this means a lot to a lot of people. This is a building that has a lot of meaning to each individual, that has their own purpose about this building. There's believers and non-believers that have views of this building. They believe it, you know, and, you know, it's a building.
Yeah.
It's a building. As a matter of fact, what is the Washington Post reporting about this place?
Well, it's interesting that almost immediately, once this cathedral was on fire, so many people, and particularly billionaires, were offering and pledging hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Washington Post just released an article. And the title of this article is, Notre Dame May Have Too Much Money After Billionaires and Others Rush to Pledge. The reconstruction of
the building may have too much money.
Too much money, more than what they need.
Mm-hmm.
The reconstruction of Notre Dame, French economists now say, may be one of them. The Union of the French Construction Economists released preliminary numbers this week indicating that the rebuilding efforts will cost between $330 million and $670 million.
That's including tax, right?
Oh, no, not including
tax,
according to the BBC. Now, the calculation is not an official estimate, and groups dedicated to preserving French cultural heritage caution that the final cost could be higher. Now, the figures raised new eyebrows in France after billionaires who rushed to save the historic cathedral faced a backlash over their donations all week. Depending on the estimate, between $835 million and more than $1 billion in donations have been pledged, with most of the money coming from some of France's most wealthiest families. And so they talk about all the kind of famous families that were pledging this money, but now nearly almost $400 million more than what is actually needed.
And so the key component here is, you know, and there is a difference between a building and an important building. I understand that. But the context of this, it wasn't like a long period of time. It was like suddenly this happened. Suddenly this $1 billion comes in for the building. And it shifted from people, you know, people who are Christians and people who aren't Christians. People who openly said it has another meaning to me, and that it is the place where people come and tourism to Paris, more than the Eiffel Tower. But it is a building. I mean, it is a building. And when I think about this, I want to think about this in the contrast between, granted, in Sri Lanka, they did not have, you know, the Notre Dame Cathedral to meet in, but there was a human being there. I mean, the Notre Dame Cathedral, there was nobody in the building, but in the gathering in Sri Lanka, there was thousands of people gathered there, people, Christians, human beings, bodies, women, men, mothers, children, who at Easter suffered a massacre of a guy, a young man wearing a backpack with a bomb to destroy Christians in Sri Lanka. This is the question we want to ask ourselves, and we're going to go to a break here, but I just want to ask you, because we're going to go to Sri Lanka after this. Who is the building of God? What is the building of God? Is the Notre Dame Cathedral the building of God? Or is the individual believer in Sri Lanka the building of God? Because billions of dollars came immediately, estimated $1 billion come immediately for the building in Paris. And the headlines covered everywhere for what took place in Paris for the building. But the people in Sri Lanka, the mothers, the fathers, the sons, the daughters, the people in the hotel next door, because they wanted to kill Christians. That barely was there a mention compared to speaking of the press covers that was covering the building compared to what was covered in Sri Lanka and how it was worded. It was, oh, the building, Ave Maria. I mean, everybody's hearts are turned, billionaires are giving, and it's like silence. And there is some media coverage, but comparing the coverage that took place from a building to actually what is Paul refers to, you are the building of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? We're going to talk about that after we get back from this break, but what are your thoughts? Comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Because we got to understand, what if we give more attention to something that's brick and mortar, which God doesn't give any attention to, but the thing that he gives attention to, which is human beings, bodies, humans, men and women, and we just neglect them, how is he going to treat us? I mean, how is he going to see us? I mean, God loves us, but the question is, do we love him? Do we love buildings more than we love people? Well, listen, in Sri Lanka, the massacre that took place on Easter morning, when all these Christians were gathered together to be able to celebrate the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. People were gathered together and they were, you know, going through their service and going through their time together. And this young man who was totally taken over demonically to be able to harm individuals comes in with a backpack bomb on his back and ignites it in just over 230 potentially, they said at one time almost 300, but it was less than that. But people were injured, just mayhem. It was blood splatter all over the place. and was a tragedy. It was a tragedy, John.
This is the worst terrorist attack since 9/11. We want to show you, want to take you there, because you may have not seen it. We talked about earlier in our program how it was nonstop coverage of the burning of the cathedral, and that was important. But this are people's lives that we're talking about in this program. We want you to see what happened and what this mayhem looked like, because we can't disconnect that it was real people and it was Christians that were targeted and were massacred, and now their lives are over. Take a look.
This is a tragedy. This is where our hearts should go, to the people. This is where the billions should go. This is where the dollar should
That's
go.
Right.
This is where, you know, remembering the mother of Jesus and remembering Jesus and compassion to be there for the Sri Lanka people that have suffered such great loss, the Christians that were there suffering great loss, not knowing if it's going to happen again. Several terrorists were in the community and doing different things of that nature. And listen, it's major. Christians are under attack. The buildings, I understand the meaning of the buildings, but listen, you are the building of God. It's Christians that are under attack greater than ever before, reportedly, in the world. Right now, this one moment, even in Europe, as a matter of fact, let's watch Glenn Beck as he's talking specifically about where we are with how many Christians are being persecuted in Europe. Listen.
But I do want to say, this was the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11. 500 people went to the hospital, 300 killed, and it was targeting Christians, and it was Muslims doing it. It was Islamists. Let me be very clear. It was Islamists that did it. And we will not talk about it. We just, they won't say that Christians were killed. It was Easter worshipers. It is vital that we talk about the targeting of Christians. Christians are being targeted in China, in Burma, in Africa, in the Middle East, all throughout Europe. 1,800 religious crimes reported in Europe just last year. 1,800. Out of that, over 1,300 were Christians. 1,100 were Christian churches being burned and desecrated. That's just in Europe last year.
Over 1,800 religious crimes reported, and 1,300 of them were against Christians. Mm. The reason why the press, the secular press, is going to ignore all that, because for some reason they have dark motives. They're not focused on, they don't want God. They don't want to promote the reality that God is the creator of the universe, that he sent his son. But we as Christians have to understand that's the reality. That's what's going on. And when we think about this going on, I mean, you're looking at Jews being persecuted. You know, they call it anti-Semitism, but what that is racism towards Jews. And the fact that they turned it to anti-Semitism versus racism, people hear that word, they don't understand. People who claim to not be racist are being racist towards the Jews because of their race,
yeah,
because of their ethnicity.
Interestingly enough, within 1 week of this massacre, there was another attack on a synagogue, you know, right here in America.
And in California.
What is
tragedy
going on?
Yeah.
Christians and Jews being targeted and really assassinated.
Yes.
This is horrible.
It is. And you're looking, there's a reason why, because the adversary wants to remove the witness of God on the face of the earth. But it's not. It's God's earth. It's not going to be successful in the context of doing that. But I think about, you know, debating over, okay, all this billions of dollars in compassion and press and live footage of the building burning, right? But when it comes to Sri Lanka, it's like, you know, hello.
Radio silence.
Almost radio silence, comparatively speaking, to the building.
Sure.
But who is the building of God? Do you know that when you look at the scriptures, you look at Acts chapter 17, he's talking to us. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 25. John, read that.
The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Acts 17:23.
So then God's not in a building, a physical building. Yeah. He's not in a building. If he was, it would be, you know, heaven. And so now 1 Peter 2:4, what does he say about this?
As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
So now he's saying specifically that God does not live in a building built by human hands. Secondly, he says, you are the temple of God. I'm building, you're like living stones. So it's not like one individual is this full, but we're part of the temple of God. We're like stones being built together. So when we come together to unify, where two more stones are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I'm the love that's holding it all together. And so then, you know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he nails it here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says very specifically, talking to the Christian, the church in Corinth, he's writing to him.
Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
You are the temple. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is what happens. God's Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. Granted, you're not the Notre Dame Cathedral, but God loves you more than his brick and mortar. He's the one that created everything and holds everything together. You're the one that's created in the image and the likeness of God. You're the one that he desires to have a relationship with. He's the one that wants to abide in you. So really, when you think about it, there was nobody in the physical building in Notre Dame. Thank God nobody was there and that nobody got injured or hurt, although I believe a firefighter or a construction worker may have gotten hurt. But in Sri Lanka, over 200, almost 300 lives were impacted. The whole, every believer that was there, every Christian, all these tabernacles of God. Mm. Where God's Spirit, he says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. He's not talking about a building in Paris and Notre Dame. He's talking about the people, the Christians in Sri Lanka that made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And God came into it. God is in them. So when you touch a believer, when you lay your hands on a believer, when you blow a bomb up in the midst of the tabernacles of God, all the people, not the building they were in, you are blowing a bomb up in the face of God's Son. That blood splatter was on Jesus' face. I mean, you think about it. When Paul, originally his name was Saul, was persecuting the church, Jesus didn't say, you know, why are you hurting these buildings? Because he was going after people. They were in houses, they were meeting in different places, but he's going to where they were meeting, and he was taking them out, he was having them stoned, he was persecuting them, he was using the governmental and church, temple influence to be able to come against the people, the followers of Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, when he's going from Jerusalem to Damascus, he had an encounter with God, Jesus. And literally, he fell off his horse. He fell off his donkey. And it's so bright. And all of a sudden, the presence of God's there. And he goes, why are you kicking against me, Saul? Think about it. Why are you blowing me up, sir? Why are you hating on me? Hating on Christians and Jews is hating on God. That's what he was saying to Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this? Saul understood, and he goes, Lord, Lord. In other words, I didn't see. I was blind, but now I see. Literally, physically, for a while, for 3 days, he went blind. His eyes just kind of put scales over his eyes. But he had a shift from a blindness to the ability to see. He shifted from the building being God to people being God. Prior to him understanding the building, he was actually stoning the people. But once he understood that people are the building of God, then he just said, put the building on the back burner and started focusing on building people instead of building buildings. He spent the rest of his life building people. Listen, this is a big test for us. The world seems to be getting smaller because it's covered by press. We saw on our phones and our iPads and our televisions and our computers with all this ablaze taking place in Paris. It was tragic, it was. But it was a building. It was a physical building, brick and mortar. Actually, it was falling apart and they were trying to remodel it. But Sri Lanka was the image of God, the likeness of God, the temple of God. The people were the temple of God. And immediately, by the way, as believers, they're in the presence of God. But us neglecting that reality, imagine what the Lord is saying. Dear God, help us recognize you today in our lives and the lives of others. I want to pray with you right now, and we pray for those that have suffered such great persecution. Father God, I pray, comfort those in Sri Lanka, Father God. Meet their needs, Father God. I pray for compassion. I pray for wisdom, God. Protect your church. Protect the Jews and the Christians from this persecution that's happening in the earth, dear God. And we ask you, dear God, end this terrorism, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.